Log Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Connection with me, Deborah Brown Stearns. And this evening we have for you a couple of very, very special guests that you guys have been constantly asking about, so I decided to bring them to you face to face. First, we have Dr. Linda Emerson, and she is a professional hair specialist, along with her hair specialist with the hair loss and alopecia and scalp. I hope I said that right, doctor. Anyway, and also we have Ms. Desiree Phillips, who is a professional makeup artist herself. And we also have someone that you guys may be familiar with, Ms. Marva Sneeze from Texas Metro News. And in her time, she was also a professional makeup artist and nail tech. So without further ado, we're going to let these ladies tell you all about themselves and what they do and what their specialist is and how they can help you and advise you. First, Dr. Linda, why don't you tell us about yourself and where you're located and what you do?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. Dr. Linda Emerson, CEO of LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic in Pantego, Texas, which is right next door to Arlington. And I specialize in analyzing and helping with solutions for over 100 different categories of hair loss and scalp disorder conditions. So we service men, women, and children. And we just love the transformations that we have been able to assist many consumers throughout the years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Ms. Desiree, tell us about you, because me, myself, and I have a whole bunch of questions, and I know you guys do too.
Well, my name is Desiree Phillips. I'm located here in Dallas, Texas, in the DFW Metroplex area. I'm located off of Haskell, and I'm also a travel makeup artist. Also, I provide makeup services for bridal, film, TV, day-to-day beauty, and I also provide, one-on-one sessions as well. Also, I am a business coach and mentor.
Okay. And Ms. Marva, tell us about back when you were a specialist and also, you are not still into the makeup business, or you have going from the makeup business, or what are you into now?
Well, my name is Marva Sneeze.
There you go.
I am a makeup artist. I still consider myself a makeup artist. I also am a nail tech. I was one of the best nail salons in North Dallas. As a matter of fact, back at the time when I started my business, I moved on Midway Road, and that's in between Walnut Hill and Willow Lane, and I was one of the only business nail salons in North Dallas at the time. So I was there for about 20 years, and then I retired. You know, you just don't give up things you love, and I really love to give up. And now I focus on what I'm doing here in the office, which I love to do as well, and that's the talk.
Yeah, some people have that gift again. Well, we're going to start with Dr. Linda here. First of all, Dr. Linda, some of the problems that I have, and I know other women have had with some baldness and thinning. I'm not sure if it's the same thing or if it's a different thing or if it's a scalp condition or if it's hereditary or whatever. Like I was showing you, I know I shouldn't be on the public showing my thinningness in here, and I was afraid a couple of years ago that I was going bald because my mom and my grandmom both went bald. So for somebody like me who would come to you and say, hey, my hair is bald in here and thin in here, what would you tell me or what would you advise me?
I would definitely start with the microscopic analysis. We also have a data form that you would fill out,
mm-hmm.
and that gives us a great snapshot of some other things that may be a contributing factor. So in many cases, we will look at family history. We also look at diet. We look at your health. We look at medication. So there are a lot of different components that we look at to help give you a more accurate diagnosis. We also incorporate a polarized microscope as well as a tricolor. And that way we're able to use hair science in order to analyze your hair bulb. If you do have hereditary pattern thinning, we can tell you what stage that you may possibly be in. So I do see a lot of clients who complain about hair thinning, patchy alopecia, but then they also have scalp disorder conditions. So I see a combination of things that's going on with consumers once they come in.
Okay. Now, not that I'm an impatient person or anything like that, but you're talking about my hair. So I want to see a little result. So all of that you just said, if somebody has lost their hair or they think they're going bald and you can see their baldness up in there, how long would it take? And I know most people say, well, it depends on the person, depends on it, but on an estimated guess about, you know, from beginning to end, the average person, it takes them about how long to start seeing results?
That is a case-by-case basis. It depends on the degree of severity as well.
Okay.
So each person may not have the same degree of severity. So it could possibly be 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 2 years, or longer. It's a case-by-case basis.
So do people who have cancer or gone through those chemo treatments and things, do they come to you too?
I have serviced many cancer survivors in the past, yes. And I can assist them after they have completely stopped the treatment.
Okay.
So that's when I usually am contacted by those individuals.
So for a regular customer coming to you, they should come and see you how many days, a week, a month, or whatever? How does that work?
Once I am able to do an accurate scientific analysis, I will recommend a plan of action.
A plan what?
And the plan of action.
Plan back.
Say that again.
No, I didn't hear what you said. You said a plan something.
A plan of action.
Oh, a plan of action. Gotcha.
Plan of action,
okay.
Yes. So the plan of action, that's going to vary per individual. Some individuals, we may need to be aggressive and get your scalp healthy first before we begin any type of hair regrowth recommendation. Because if the scalp is not healthy, a person is not going to have the maximum benefit.
Okay.
So I like to always start with the canvas. And I consider the scalp a very essential canvas to that must be healthy first before we begin the hair growth session.
Okay. Like I said, I had you on here for a reason. What would be a cause of scalp damage? For it to be so dry or so weak or for your hair not to want to grow in it at all? I mean, what could cause that? Is that something external, internal, hereditary, or what?
There are over 100 different categories of alopecia. So, again, that's a case-by-case basis. Sometimes it can be external. Sometimes it can be, for example, certain hairstyles that a person may love to have done.
Mm-hmm.
Some sometimes certain hairstyles should not be done for certain individuals, depending on the hair texture that they have. Other scalp damage can also be from various types of chemicals, hair color, not only a relaxer type chemical, but I see many consumers with hair color issues that can damage the scalp. I've seen trauma, which has occurred to the scalp. If a person is in an automobile accident, if they have had an aneurysm, there are so many variables with actual trauma to the scalp.
Okay.
So those are just some examples.
Okay. All right. Well, you've given us a lot to start on. Okay. Let's go to Ms. Desiree here. We're going to come back to the hair, but we're going to get to skin.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Ms. Desiree.
Yes.
For someone like me who've had skin problems all their days, the outside elements, my skin just can't stand the outside elements. I go outside and I can come back with a whip here, a patch here, a different skin here, and, you know, and all of that. So and my scalp also. I've had my head shaved twice when I was a kid because I had these sores from grass. You know, I was allergic to grass. So for people who have really, really sensitive skin, but they want to make up, use makeup without over making up, like me. But if you're like me, you can only stand to have makeup on for a short amount of time.
Yes.
I mean, give me 3 to 4 hours, I'm good. After that, it's like something is sucking into my skin and I have to take it off. So what would you advise somebody like me who has sensitive skin?
Recommend like skincare first over makeup. So with that, and I always say with skincare, I believe that you should use like natural products. I know a lot of skincare products that are out now, they have a lot of chemicals in it, and that could be a cause of, you know, just having sensitive skin. So I would definitely say, you know, use a clean ingredient toner. I mean, a facial wash. And follow up with a toner like Witch Hazel, and then I always use a nice moisturizer, serum, and always use sunscreen. I think especially with women of color, we don't use enough sunscreen, and that contributes to like discoloration of the skin. So definitely using sunscreen would definitely help with in acne and, keeping the skin protected from the sun. So I always recommend having, skincare regimen within a day and night. And that would definitely help with the way, makeup is layered on and the overall.
Okay, you're breaking up on us, Desiree. Can you adjust a little bit? You're breaking up on us. Okay, try it now. I can hear you now. You're not rattling. Your voice was rattling a second ago. Okay, say something. Now we can't hear you. Don't know what happened. I don't know. We can hear you, but you're coming in and out. It's like a little rattling or shaking or something. And now you're frozen. You may have to go back out and come back in. You can't hear me? Okay, while Desiree is getting that together, Ms. Marver, you are a makeup artist too. And again, still, Desiree was talking about sunscreen in the setting. Would sunscreen per se help me or help someone like me with my...
Okay, I'm going to come out and go back in.
Okay, thank you. Try that one.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay.
You still the in and out. We're gonna finish the question with Marva.
Yes,
did you go back out and come back in again? You did. Okay, let's try. Don't know what's wrong. Marva, I was asking with someone who has skin like mine, where I like wearing makeup. But I can only stand it for a certain amount of time. It's like after 4 or 5 hours, I have to take it off. It's like a plastic bag or something is over my face and I can't stand it anymore. But, you know, sometimes I need to go from day to night or night to a little bit longer. What could I use to make my skin more susceptible to having makeup on a little longer?
Well, my first question is, what, you know, you have sensitive skin, mm-hmm. but do you know if you're dry sensitive
right.
or oily sensitive? Okay, so if you're dry sensitive skin, mm-hmm. you need moisturizer.
Okay.
Moisturizer is going to be your friend.
Really?
A lot of people don't realize that oily skin is the best skin to have. You want to complain, some people complain about it as acne, but that's usually at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
But oily skin is the better skin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I think because it holds its elasticity better, it holds the moisture better,
mm-hmm.
and it also will protect.
Mm-hmm.
The sebaceous gland will work and produce that moisture that you need. So when you have dry skin, your sebaceous gland is not working. So you need
right.
to put that moisture on your skin so the sebaceous gland will understand that, okay, so now I can produce.
Wow.
So it happens, yeah.
It's funny that you say that because I really don't like a lot of oil or moisturizer on me when I am making up, and especially when I'm at home or in the bed or doing this, that, and the other, the moisture, it's like it's sticking to me. You know, I just can't get used to it, and I'll go in and take a bath and wash it off real quick. And,
well, and the more you wash your skin, the drier
it will get. Then
that is causing the problem. So it's kind of like it's a resistance. So what you have to do is for you, maybe a water base, something that's not, doesn't have as much oil in it would be better.
Water
base. Something that's a water base, something that has a humectant in it, but not a, like an oil, like a petroleum.
Okay, so a water based moisturizer?
Yeah, there's lots of products out there that are humectants that are mainly water that will give your skin that supple new life when you touch it versus an oil. Does that make sense, Dr. Linda? Do you think that makes sense? Okay.
So you need moisturizer on your skin as well as your scalp. This,
yes.
Dr. Linda, that's what we're saying. Moisturize your skin, your face, body, and everything else. Also moisturize your scalp, your hair scalp.
Well, now the scalp, it depends. If there is a condition there, it depends on what type of scalp condition that a person has. So that's a case-by-case basis.
Just dry skin? I'm talking about mine now. If I just have a dry scalp, it's like
you may think it's dry. You may think it's dry, but the microscope might reveal something totally different.
Oh, we definitely gonna have to come see you. As I've been older people use, your scalp is so dry, you get all this dandruff, and they start digging in your head and scratching in your head. You remember when when my folks used to do that back in the day? They don't do that anymore? No.
They shouldn't do that. I don't recommend that because a person doesn't know what scaly scalp condition that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It may not be dandruff.
But
I have to say that.
So what
to your
is
listening
it?
Audience, it may not be that. A lot of times I find a combination of conditions that is occurring on the scalp.
Okay, so give us an example because all I've is in the scalp or just dry skin and it's flaky. So what would that be called?
Again, it could arise to simplex. It could be seborrheic dermatitis. It could be pityriasis, amyenthesia. It could be psoriasis.
When I've heard
or it could, yeah. So it varies. It
okay.
varies. It's a case-by-case basis.
Wow. You named off of quite a few names, but I only heard of one. I'm like, I have no idea what the rest of those are, but I'm sure they are as they are what you say they are. But that's what we were talking about just before you left, Desiree. It's good to have moisture in your skin, moisture in your scalp, moisture in your face. And she also told me that oily skin was better than dry, and I have dry skin. So, but which one, I mean, I have dry skin. This is true. I know I've had that all my days. But a lot of people tell me I have this youthful look and this, that, and the other. But with my skin, if I don't moisturize it at a certain time, for instance, if I have a cold or flu or whatever, this, that, and the other, and I don't want to do it, I can feel my skin just drying up in the bed because the rubbing against the sheets and the spreads and this, that, and the other. And I don't like to put anything on my face when I'm sick. I don't like the way it feels. And I've tried the silk pillowcases and this, that, and the other. So that means I've gone too long, and now I'm in there hurrying up trying to moisturize. But so that could happen to people. And I've had spots where, you know, my skin stayed dry for so long, then it would start to rub, and you would see these little patches come. So is that just from my not using the moisturizer, or is there another hidden cause that I don't know about? Dr. Anderson, since we were talking, and this goes for my scalp, my head, my skin, my whole body.
Well, I'm not sure about your skin. I think Desiree could probably answer that better than I can as far as the skin.
Mm-hmm.
With your scalp, if you're not getting properly hydrated, it will affect your scalp and your hair.
And I was going to say the same for, you know, hydration. Drinking a lot of water is a major factor in the, you know, determining your skin dryness and everything like that. So that's the number one thing I always recommend. And people ask me, you know, my skin is breaking out. It's hormonal. And, you know, I ask, what are you eating? Are you eating cheese, dairy, you know, dairy? Are you eating a lot of sugar? Because every 30 days, what you eat, it shows up on your face after 30 days. So it's really important to, like, your diet contributes to your skin as well.
Yeah, I understand. But I did notice that it's like that only happens when I have to be in the bed for more 2 or 3 days at a time, because I don't want to, you know, if I'm in pain, I have zero tolerance when it comes to pain. I don't want to talk. I don't want to eat. I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything. So all I want to do is just lay there. And I think my skin and my scalp is what's suffering the most. So when I do finally feel better, because I don't have a problem drinking water. I do that all day long. So Marva was also telling us that the oily skin is better. The only time I get oil on my skin is when I put something in my hair and it comes down in my face. And then it breaks my face out. So right here, you have these bumps. So I'm just messed up all the way around. So I need you guys' help here. So when I try to put moisturizer or scalp conditioner in here and it comes down in my face on my skin, sometimes I break out. So I'm still trying different products that won't break me out. So for the most part, I just end up using moisturizer, and Jen tried to put a little band or something so it won't fall down in my face. So any suggestions?
There's not a whole lot you can do about that, because whatever you put in your hair by noon, it's here.
What?
Whatever you put in your hair, if you are extremely moisturizing your hair with the grease and oil, it's going to be by noon, it's here.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's here by noon. So, but I think your problem is hydration from water. That's the problem. And the skin can be dehydrated when the body is not.
Mm-hmm.
When you're drinking water all day, but the skin is still dehydrated. So you need something that's got a humectant in it that is going to attract that water moisture to your skin.
Okay.
That's going to help you. That's going to help you more than anything.
So I need something that's going to work with all the water I'm drinking, that when I put it on my skin, it's also helping me moisturize my body as well. Not just drinking the water is one thing, but keeping the moisturized in my skin. Is that what you guys tell me? Well, how do I do that? What do I put on it?
You're going to have to find a product. You're going to have to seek...
water-based.
You're going to have to seek a skincare specialist that has a product that not just a store-bought product from the Walmart or the Walgreens or wherever, but you need somebody that has a product and somebody that knows their product too.
Okay.
So that I, before anything, I would do that. I would seek out a...
dermatologist?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I have had so many dermatologists in my day.
Okay.
No offense. But I understand what you said. I mean, this time I will be going to see them for a positive reason.
I would go to not a dermatologist as much as a skincare specialist, someone that is really into the skin so much. Okay, a dermatologist is going to treat you if you got a bump, if you got a mole, if you got all that. But if you want to be a skincare specialist that's actually going to treat your skin, she will or he will do a much better job at it. So, I would find a skincare specialist, a facialist. And that is another thing, too. I highly recommend having facials at least once a month. Having your face treated once a month, you know, you get a pedicure, you get your nails done, you get a massage, get a facial.
Get a facial once a month. All right, then. Ms. Desiree, we know we lost you there for a while. Now, the other thing as far as a makeup artist goes, we always have people asking about the right skin color to go with the right makeup, the right tone, the right, you know what I'm talking about. So all of these people, because you can see some people out sometimes with the right skin, but they have the wrong color. Same thing for the hair. They have, the hair is beautiful, but it's like done wrong. You know what I mean. It's not matching. Okay, maybe a simpler way to put it, just isn't matching. So you notice right away something is wrong. He's like, what? No, this doesn't look right. It doesn't. So explain that to it. Did I explain it? You know what I mean. Explain it to me.
So what happens is when a lot of women go into the beauty stores, beauty makeup stores, they're in there and they're trying to match themselves in the first era that they make their time. They try to match here. And this is not where you want to match because we are all different colors.
Oh, yes.
The place that you really want to try to match yourself is your neck. So that's where you need to, that's where you want to match. And also, you know, you have to match your undertone. You know, a lot of us have different undertones. We have yellow, we have red, we have olive,
brown.
We have neutral warm. So I think when people start to really get that down, then they'll be able to match themselves correctly. And another problem I see, there's a lot of beauty advisors, like, you know, in the mall, at MAC, who are selling a lot of products to the clients, but the clients don't know how to use it when they get home. So now they have all of these products that they bought and they don't know how to use it. So as a makeup artist, that's kind of where I come in. That's one of my services that I specialize in. I have a 2-in-1 package, a session. That's a personal makeup shopping session and a 1-on-1. So what I do, I would create like a budget list because you don't have to break the bank to, you know, get quality products and create like a everyday thing. So I create that and I go out and I help them shop for their products and then we'll come back and then I'll show you how to apply those products that you bought. So now you'll be able to use those products on your own.
Okay.
And, you know, just create like a nice step. It doesn't have to be overcomplicated. You know, a simple step-by-step guide on how to create like a neutral glam to do for yourself. when you want to go out or, you know, getting ready for an interview like that.
Okay. So for some of us more experienced, or I should say mature women like myself, I wake up sometimes, you know, when I can't get that good night rest and this and the other, or if I have some broken sleep, and I have these bags under my eyes and this and the other. So what is a good product for helping that? And I do.
So definitely I would recommend rest. Sleep contributes to under eyes.
I guess I know.
Because underneath it's you know, there's the blood is not circulating under here. Mm-hmm. So that's where the fuzziness comes from. So
right.
If you have like one of those like you can get cold eye patches, mm-hmm. you can buy those and put those in the refrigerator, and then get up in the morning and kind of just put that on there to prep your under eye. And also the skincare regimen and using anti-aging products. Even us, you know, younger generation, we should start early because, you know, everyone ages.
Right.
So the earlier, the better. So in conjunction with that, you know, hydration, skincare regimen, day and night skincare regimen, and just using like there's this rolling, I don't know what it's necessarily called, but there's like a little tool that you can use, and it kind of like it's cold, so it makes the blood circulate in your face, so it helps with the fussiness in the morning as well. So those things like that can definitely help.
Okay, Ms. Marla. With the mature women with the bag, and I do understand what you're saying about the sleep debt, because that was the first thing I mentioned. But for those of us who need to get out and go to a particular function this time and the other, and they still have some bags up under their eyes and they want to tighten it up a little bit, there are some products out there that, you know, do a temporary thing. Is that good or bad, or is it temporarily worth it?
It just depends on your skin and how you're going to adapt to it. Because that was one of the things I was going to say about dermatologists. Unfortunately, sometimes they have a one fix for all skin. You know, they will have one product that they are really pushing, that one product for everybody's skin, but everybody's skin is different and just deal with things differently. But for older women, I definitely recommend wearing a night cream at night, you know, especially you with drier skin. You want to make sure that you have some moisture on your skin at night, because I don't care what kind of pillowcase it is, satin or whatever, it's going to suck the moisture right out of your face. And then in the morning when you get up, you're going to feel tight. And when you feel tight, then what are you going to do? You're going to go wash it and just say, oh, let me just wash it off, and then it's going to feel better. But if you're not putting that moisture back in your skin, you're just overworking yourself. And you're going to get the same result each time. But definitely make sure I agree with Desiree, and you and I probably agree on a lot. I've been shaking my head every time you talk. But I'm laying here.
I am
right on it. But do not go to bed with your makeup on.
No.
You want to age your skin, that's the first thing you do. So don't go to bed with your makeup on. And then, like I said, just find yourself somebody like Desiree who can really show you how to apply your makeup. And, you know, because sometimes you might want more and sometimes you might want less, just depending on and what it is. And her face is so beautiful. Definitely drives, that would be for more oily skin, because
a liquid makeup, you know, it helps with oily skin. Their skin doesn't get so oily throughout the day. But if you put liquid on dry skin, that's going to dry out the skin. So using cream foundation is a great way to moisturize the skin, also underneath the eye, to use a lighter, when I say lighter, not just lighter in the color, but lighter as far as density. Use that to help with just the coverage and just so it won't make it so dry underneath. So that definitely helps too.
So what kind of concealer would you use for a dry skin person, for a person with a dry skin?
They have, Estee Lauder has some good concealers. Also, Black Opal. Black Opal is my go-to.
Black Opal?
Women of color. And Marva, you were about to say the name?
I recommend Mocha Cosmetics.
Mocha?
I've heard of them, yeah.
Black-owned cosmetics of Tina Zakas. Oh, my God. Her makeup is primo.
It
is really primo. And she has a cream stitch for concealer. And I just used all of mine up, so I need to go do some more. But hers is perfect.
Okay.
And you don't use a lot. You don't have to use a lot, you know. And then when you apply it too, this skin underneath the eye is the most delicate tissue that you have on your whole face underneath your eyes. So you want to be sure that whatever you're putting on it, it's not pulling and taunting that skin, because then it's going to wrinkle a lot quicker than if you don't do that.
Okay. Doctor, I have a question for you. Great advice, guys. Really, really great. And you know I'm going to be calling you guys soon, okay? But, Doctor, I taught for 32 years, and most of that time was in pre-K and kindergarten. And I would have these little girls to come in there sometimes crying because the braids that they have in their hair is too tight, pulling their skin. They can't concentrate, can't focus, and it's creating sores. And they're trying to tell their moms, and the moms are like, oh, leave it, don't touch it, don't touch it. You know, and the child is trying to tell you, this is hurting my head. You know, and they have to walk around like that for a couple of days before they feel any relief. I know how bad it was for me seeing them in that way, but how bad is that for their hair, their skin, their mental wellness? I mean, and then what age should you even try to put that kind of stuff in a child's head, boys or girls? Doctor?
You know, it is so unfortunate. We live in such an image-conscientious society. And parents, a lot of the parents, they just go overboard when it comes to the little girl's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And some little boys' hair as well, but especially with the little girls, and I've seen it over the years, because the child's hair needs time to mature. So ages 0 through 12 are very, very delicate times for the hair and the scalp, because their hair is growing and maturing just as their bodies are.
Right.
Parents really need to not be so image conscientious. The child's hair is not growing as fast as the classmate's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are different genetics that are in place for that.
Yeah.
And so your child's hair may take a longer time in order to get a certain length or a certain thickness, or it may not even get as long or as thick as other children, you know, that are around your child. So a lot of parents, they incorporate the braids with the extensions, and then there's the crochet braid, when those crochet braids are used too young, and I've seen many cases of this, it can cause damage to the scalp. And also I've seen hair breakage and shedding that has also occurred.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. This was on national news. I know it was on Facebook and a lot of the other places. This one particular case is little girl, I guess she must have been 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 years old, kept telling her mom that her head was hurting and that she was scratching and digging and it was hurting. And she told her this for weeks. And come to find out, to make a long story short, when they finally took this child to the doctor, she had bugs and things that had nested in her head, and they had gone down into her scalp and caused brain damage or whatever. The child ended up dying. They end up putting the mother in jail. You know, they asked her, say, why did you not listen to your child, and why didn't you take her hair down? That's why I got it braided, so I wouldn't have to take it down. What? How long? I mean, no, you do not do that. You do not do that. I know it wasn't my child, but all I'm, oh, no, infected with bugs? Doctor, you're nodding your head, but please tell me this is not a, please tell me that was one exception and that out of a million and it was just that one exception?
No. That was one of a few.
You heard about
you
it,
know,
too?
There have been other cases, yeah, where bugs and spiders have been found in children's hair, yes, because of neglect.
Mm. Okay. All right. Okay. On an average, just for the parents and kids themselves who may be listening, when you put braids, cornrows, or whatever, what is the average or the normal length of time? Just for those people who don't know, because I don't know, I wouldn't be putting them in my kids' heads at that age. Is it 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 2 months, 3 months? When should they take this out of their hair? Doctor.
Okay, one of the things I know could be depending on the size of the braid, because some parents like the braids to be very, very small, so it would be an extended period of time, which is not a wise choice. I usually recommend about a month maximum, and then the parent needs to analyze their child's hair and scalp once a week at a minimum. You know, you want to look for any changes, any type of lesions on the scalp, any flaking, anything that is different that was not there previously, the week before. So a weekly examination for both girls and boys would be my recommendation.
Okay. Recommendation for taking that out. Now, going back to school now, with second grade, I had some second grade kids once before, and this little girl came in, and her braids were loose. And that means that she had had them in there too long, I think, for one thing. And it used to be back in the day, if you lost a piece of hair, you used to be embarrassed about it or whatever. But I was with her, and she lost a braid or two, and it just fell out. So I just put it in a Ziploc bag and gave it to her and told her to take it home to her mom. And the next day, the same thing. She was doing this in her hair, and this little boy said, can I have it? And, you know, she just pulled it out of here, and she just gave it to him. I was like, oh, my God, there is no shame. There is no shame. No more. No more. But, I mean, it was like nothing. And her mom spent all of it. So I'm assuming either it wasn't done right or it had been in there so long until it was just falling out. I don't know which, but that's why I was asking. At this particular time, I'm also asking, is it too young? What is an age that's too young to have your child hair all fried back and pulled and tightened? So what is a proper age? I guess that's what I'm asking. Is there a proper age?
I usually, for braids, again, it depends on the thickness of the child's hair. But for the children who have very, very fine, thin hair, you need to postpone that as long as they possibly can. Maybe put some headbands on there, maybe some little barrettes. For children who have more of a medium texture of hair, then their hair can withstand more of the cornrows. I recommend avoiding any type of extension braids. And then for the children who have the thicker, coarser texture, then that texture can withstand, you know, more of the ponytails, those types of styles. Parents, also, please do not use rubber bands on your child's hair. The rubber bands are not good to use. They will pull the child's hair. So So you need to use some type of ponytail covering, ponytail holder that has a covering on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a cloth covering or some other type of elastic covering, but avoid the rubber bands at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now we were talking about the kids. I have done several different shows, fashion shows, teen shows, young kids, Easter program, you know, shows and this, that, and the other. And a lot of the parents want to put makeup on some of these younger kids. Okay, my question to you guys, what is an age, an appropriate age to start wearing makeup or letting your kids wear makeup or even putting it on them yourself? I mean, you know, 4 and 5 year olds, you know, makeup? No, that's just me. Okay, Ms. Marv, that's just me.
I have a daughter, so I had that conversation with her.
Uh-huh.
I would not allow her to wear anything on her face until she double digits. So in 10, she could wear lip gloss. And then when she got 12, she wanted to wear makeup, so she would go and my room and get makeup, put it in her little backpack, go to school, put it on, and then by the time she came home, and then on the bus trying to take it off, but of course she didn't get it all off, so I would see it on her face.
Mm-hmm.
So at 13, I said, okay, I'm going to show you how to apply makeup. I allow her to wear mascara, lip gloss, basically that's it, just mascara and lip gloss.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. And then as she got older, I would teach her a little bit more. So she kind of gradually went, but I was a makeup artist and did all that, so she was in love with it. Right now, my daughter is one of the best makeup artists I know.
Wow.
And so, and she taught her daughter, who's 16 now, how to do that too. So
mm-hmm.
I say, start very little, because you know what? You're not going to keep them from doing it, because they're going to go find a way to do it outside. So you got to show them and tell them why you don't want them to do it. Don't just tell them, no, you can't have it. Tell them why you don't want it. You want to protect them instead. And then you want to teach them skincare over makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you teach them, because they're going to go through 13 and they're going to have acne on the forehead.
Mm-hmm. And every other head. And my question was, you know, they have a lot of these little kid pageants and beauty pageants and this, that, and the other. And it's fine dressing up in their little clothes and the little tutus and this area. But, you know, it's one thing putting a little lip gloss on their lips. But full makeup on a five-year-old? That's a little much for me. You know, it's just a little much for me.
I didn't start with makeup until I was in the 12th grade. That's when I started wearing makeup. And nowadays, I see all these young girls, and they just got a full face, and they going to school to learn. Like, you wasting, like, maintain that healthy skin that you have. You're going to wish, when you get older, that you still have that. I have a almost 16-month-year-old, and so for me, I don't think she's going to have to be grown for her to wear skincare. I may let her wear a little bit of lip gloss now and then, but I want, like Ms. Marva said, you know, inform them of why they shouldn't put that type of stuff on their face, especially with all the ingredients, you know, in makeup. There are some vegan companies, but nowadays everybody's saying they're vegan, right? You know,
right.
You really have to read the ingredients, but yeah.
But I know growing up, because my skin was so sensitive, I didn't know what even stuff that I could eat would break me out, and not to mention things that I would touch could break me out. But I'm thinking of kids this young, and they don't know anything about their skin, and they haven't learned enough about their skin, and they're putting all this stuff on it. They don't know what is really breaking their skin out, because they keep trying different products over and over and over, and if they have lesions or whatever it is on their face from all of this makeup, what are they going to tell us? What did you use? Do you remember what you used on your face? Because they're all trying each other makeup, you know, and testing it on themselves.
The interesting thing that you said, they see all these celebrities and stuff, and they want to look like that. It's a mess.
Okay. So in other words, for those of you who are looking, I mean, you are going to have to guide them as parents with their hair, with their makeup, with their skin. Please just don't let them do that. And please don't let them start too early. That's another thing. We don't want them to start too early. They'll be there time enough and they will experience enough with all these different types of hairstyles and makeup that they have. And just give them time to grow up. That's all that we're asking. Give them time to grow up. Just let them be. Okay. Now, I know we had talked about you guys bringing and showing some before and after pictures, and we were talking about if we could do that. I don't know. Dr. Linder, do you have anything you can share with us of a patient that you had when they first started out and what they look like after?
Okay. Let me get back into another screen.
Okay.
I'll share that. Can I also share my scholarship winners?
Please. Okay, that's right. We're here. Oh, they've already had, I thought that wasn't until October.
September.
September. Okay.
September, yes. So this is our 8th year,
mm-hmm.
and we have 2 winners. We have Ms. Jakia King. Jakia Wade and Lanaya Hicks.
Uh-huh.
So these are my 2 scholarship winners for 2021, and this is something I started back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Just my way of paying it forward to a youth who is trying to do something with their life.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a monetary scholarship that they will receive to help them with their education.
Okay, for those of us who are looking and we don't know, what are the qualifications they have to get this scholarship? What is the criteria?
Okay, they must write an essay. Mm-hmm. It must be 300 words on the topic of my choice.
Okay.
So this year I changed it a little bit. Usually it includes a child who has had alopecia of some type. But this year, because of COVID last year, I wanted to combine the pandemic with the scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose, during the pandemic, it made me look at life this way,
mm-hmm.
and the hair problems that I had. So both of these young ladies also experienced hair loss, and then going through the changes with isolation from their friends, from having to adjust to virtual education. They talked mm-hmm. about that. They talked about sickness with the COVID in their homes, different things they had to endure,
mm-hmm.
and also with their hair. So they were very good essays. So they were chosen as my winners.
Okay. What's the age group for this scholarship? What do they have to be?
My age group is 16 through 19.
16 through 19,
yes. So they must be in high school, about to graduate, or either in their first or second year of college.
Okay. All right. Good for you. And this is your 8th year? Congratulations.
This is my 8th year, yes. And so now I have a few of my success cases before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And all 3 of these ladies have different forms of alopecia.
Wow.
So we were able to assist them with hair regrowth.
All right. That is great. Thank you. And I'm still on, please forgive me, but I'm still on a timeline. So when they first came to you,
yes.
and until their hair showed that significant amount of growth, how long was that?
The first photo took us 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
The second photo was 5 months.
Mm.
And the third photo was 9 months.
Wow. That is so mm-hmm. you're right. Different people can grow at different levels in different ways. That is magnificent. That is
Thank
a
you.
Great job. Don't worry, I'm gonna see you soon. I will definitely be over there to see you. But it is just okay. miraculous just to see that and to have it to grow so natural and all of that. That's a wonderful thing. Yes. So are you finding the scalp treatment that you do, is it just, do you do all ethnic groups or do you just do black? You do white people too? Okay. So that's
You know, when a person has alopecia scalp disorder, it affects all ethnicities. It is not just specific to African Americans. That's a question I get constantly.
Right.
So it can affect all ethnicities.
It does. And, you know, for some reason or another, we were under the impression that black women are the only women, you know, that wear wigs. No. I know a whole bunch. It took me a few years to learn it, and I didn't know it because their hair color just matched so well and everything. But the majority, if we just had to look at stats and this, that, and the other, we're not in the majority of folks wearing wigs. It's just everybody shaking their head. So for those of you who did not know that, and we're not the only one who have skin problems and hair problems and everything like that. So don't feel left out. Don't feel left out at all. So, and I don't think that. And black men are men. Often think this, that black women, you know, the ones who wear the wig the most and this, that, and the other, and don't want our hair wet. And there are some other ethnic groups that don't want their hair wet, and they just get in the pool, and it just blends in better with theirs. That's all. They can afford it. But don't be stereotyping us like that, like we just got bad hair, you know, because I was going to curl up a little on the side and the top and around, and in the kitchen. Yeah, the guy made the joke. Oh, my baby have a kitchen. Yeah, your baby has a kitchen. That was on Grey's Anatomy when they had the little black girl and they went in there and said, oh, my baby got a kitchen. Oh, what's in the kitchen? Nuts. That wasn't funny. But anyway, you all know what I mean. I mean, we come up all skin colors, all skin types, and all hair types and everything else. And we just have to learn to deal with it. And some of it is good, and some of it is medically induced and this, that, and the other, but we just have to find that way to deal with it. That's all that they're asking. And we have probably a few more minutes, so before I sign, oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Did you get your picture to work it?
I was able, I'm on 2% on my phone, so I hope you guys can see this, but this is a before and after.
That is not the same woman.
This was for her wedding, and
wait a minute, was she darker down here? Did I see darkness down here?
So that's contour. Yeah, so that's just enhancing her, making her look more chiseled, you know?
Wow.
Miss Marvin know what I mean about that.
That is absolutely gorgeous.
Great job. Another quick. So this was one of my brides.
Oh,
no. Lovely. I love a natural face, but still make it pop. You know, I don't like the, I guess, I call it the drag queen kind of makeup, like, you know, the stripper makeup. Mm-hmm. So I like for it to still be natural, but still pop. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that was absolutely gorgeous. Yes, it was.
Thank you.
But anyway, let's start with Ms. Marva. We have about 3 minutes left. And any advice that you would like to tell some of the people in the audience about their skin and nails and what to do or not to do?
Listen, find yourself a professional.
Mm-hmm.
A real professional. A professional that's going to not only do the work on your nails or get your skin or your hair, but will tell you why they're doing it and help you to keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just believe, like, we went to school to learn how to do this, and Dr. Emerson, you went to school to do this. And so you want people to come to you as a professional and respect the fact that you know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so get yourself a good skincare specialist, makeup artist, a hair and scalp doctor. Just get yourself a professional, baby.
Okay. Well, Dr. Emerson, my question to you, is there one condition that people bring to you more than others? Do you see people more often for this than you do that? What would that one thing be? Or is there one thing?
It's a case-by-case basis. I see a combination of different things, not just one thing, but I do see scalp conditions and various types of hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely recommend come in and get a scientific analysis of your scalp and hair. And everyone on YouTube is not an expert. Some of you who love to go to YouTube, I call it YouTube University.
YouTube.
And come in. We offer virtual consultation, and we also offer clinic consultation.
Okay.
So we do have privacy. So please give us a call.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this one more question. Then. When a person wants to make an appointment to come in and see you, would you rather they have just washed their hair or have nothing on their hair at all, or how would you want it to be? You wash it when they get there, or you just test it by the... In other words, I want to make an appointment with you, so what do I need to do before I get to you?
It depends. If a person does not use a lot of maintenance and topical products, you can shampoo 2 to 3 days prior to coming in. If you use a lot of maintenance products on your hair, then I need to be able to look at your scalp very, very clearly.
Okay.
So you need to have shampooed your hair maybe the night before and just not use a lot of topical products.
Okay. Is there a timeline that you want to give people if they want to make an appointment with you? You ask them to give you a couple of days or a week or what, or just?
Just give me a call and we can check our schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know what our availability is. So we'll find out what's best for them, if it's morning, midday, or afternoon.
Okay.
And we'll be more than happy to schedule an appointment.
All right. Ms. Desiree, your last words for the makeup folks looking so fabulous here. Your folks looking at you like, is that real?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, at Desiree Phillips NUA. You can also book appointments online, and I'd be happy to help in any way I can. If you have any questions, you can send me an email at info@DesireePhillips.com, and I'd be happy to connect with you.
Okay. Do you guys want to give out your phone numbers or just emails or whatever? Either way.
I can be reached at 469-608-0915.
Okay. Dr. Linda, where can you be reached?
Dr. Emerson, LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic, 817-265-8854. 817-265-8854.
Okay. And Ms. Mava, last word?
Barbara Snee, 214-796-6787.
Well, I don't know about anybody else who's been listening, but I have learned a lot, and I am going to do some follow-up myself, so don't be surprised when I call you guys, seriously. But I have really enjoyed you guys. You guys have given me so much information, and you've helped me, and I'm hoping they've helped some of the other folks too, okay? So I really do appreciate you. We will be in touch. And to the audience, thank you all so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Ladies, good night. Bye. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You just log off.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, connection friends.